Certainly glad that you're here this morning. This morning's lesson, Promises Made and Promises Kept, from Psalm 77 and verse 8, the psalmist says, Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? 3 years ago, when I went to the Philippines with Bob Buchanan, he stated that you're going to see something over here that he hadn't seen anyplace else in the world. A respect for U.S. citizens. It goes back to March the 20th, 1942, when General MacArthur was forced to leave the Philippines during World War II. When he left, he stated, I came out of Bataan, and I shall return. On October the 20th, 1944, General MacArthur and the armed forces landed at Leyte, island of the Philippines. Upon coming ashore, he stated, "People of the Philippines, I have returned." With this statement, he kept his promise of about 2.5 years earlier that he had made. Those people today, if you go over there and they recognize you as a U.S. citizen, most of the time they will say, "Hey, Joe, how you doing?" In reference to G.I. Joe. Over 60 years removed from the war, World War II, they still have a great respect for the American people. Why? Because the promise that General MacArthur made and the promise that he kept. I'd like to, for us today, to look at some promises that God made of a spiritual nature and to see why it is we have such high regard for God. In Genesis, the second chapter, and verse 16, the first promise, the first command, and the first promise made. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." The first sins shortly thereafter. Genesis 3, 6 through 10. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. So she also gave her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, Where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Their eyes were open to evil, the loss of the ignorance of innocence. For example, in Matthew the 18th chapter, verse 3 and 4, Christ said, Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whosoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You see, Adam and Eve before sin were as little children. Another thing that resulted, a shame of awkward conscience toward the worthlessness of the flesh. We are made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26. God is spirit, John 4:26. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, it states that the dust, the physical body, will return to your earth as it was, and the spirit, the eternal aspect of man, that which we cannot see, will return to God who gave it. Another thing that resulted from this is the consciousness of guilt, therefore the necessity of a covering for the nakedness of the body. There in Genesis 3:10, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Who told Adam that he was naked? The fruit of the tree? Or was it Eve? They ate, and they lost the blessed blindness of innocence. God returns and says, "Where are you?" He returns and he puts a curse upon the serpent in Genesis, the third chapter, verse 14 and 15. He puts a curse upon Eve, verse 16. He puts a curse upon Adam, verses 17 through 19. And they are cast out of the garden, verse 23 and 24. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east end of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned away to guard the way of the tree of life. Therefore, man was to die physically, verse 19, and to dust you shall return. Man also died spiritually, Isaiah 59 and verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. God kept his promise. Genesis 2:17, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God also made a promise to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 18, and verse 10, God said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. Sarah was listening into the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. It's repeated in verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. This goes back to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. Let's start with verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And in verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So God has made this promise of a great nation, the Israelites. A great land, a land of milk and honey, the promised land, the land of Canaan, and a great blessing, Jesus Christ. God kept his promise to Abraham. In Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Sounds to me like God kept his promise, doesn't it you? Even though Sarah and Abraham both laughed. Verse 3, and Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. God kept his promise. Not only did he keep his promise here, in Exodus, the first chapter, in verse 9, and he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. This is Pharaoh talking. And in Numbers, the first chapter, in verse 3, from 20 years old and above, all who are able to go to war in Israel, this is the numbering of the children of Israel, you and Aaron shall number them by their armies. The total number, verse 46, 603,550, excluding the Levites. I'd call that a great nation, wouldn't you? God kept his promise. Not only that, in Joshua, the 21st chapter, beginning with verse 43, so the Lord God gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. Verse 44, the Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Verse 45, not a word failed of anything which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. I'd say God kept his promise. What would you say? God also gave a promise to Jacob. In Genesis 28, beginning with verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angel of God was ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land of which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. He promises a land promise, a great nation, a blessing promise concerning that, and a repeat of the promise that he made to Abraham. Jacob is told to go home by God in Genesis 31. In verse 3. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. He's been gone 20 years. God's protection from Laban? Yes, sir. Chapter 31, verse 52 through 55. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father judged between us, and Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread, and they ate bread and stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. Did God keep his promise? Yes, he did. What about concerning Esau? Chapter 33, verse 3 and 4. Then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to him and to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. What a different scenario on this return as when he left. You remember when he left, Esau threatened to kill him. That's why he left, with the help of his mother. God's protection to the land of which they were to go into. Verse 18 of chapter 33. Then Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan Aram, and he pitched his tent before the city. Did God keep his promise to Jacob? Yes, he did. It took 20 years for all those promises to come to pass, but God kept his promises. What about God's promises to Moses? In Exodus, the third chapter, and beginning with verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Well, you remember that there were 70 of them that went down into Egypt. Joseph, his family, and his dad, and those people. But remember, as we first read the book of Exodus, there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. Of course, then we have this time frame. We have about 400 years pass. Acts the 7th chapter, verse 6, Stephen says 430 years later, Moses would lead them out of Egypt. Moses was 40 years old. Acts the 7th chapter and verse 23. He returns to Egypt in Exodus the 4th chapter and verse 20. Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. You remember, Moses fled because he killed an Egyptian. And earlier, Moses raised up in the house of Pharaoh. But God made this promise to him, you're going to lead my people out of here. God has Moses repeat the promises in the 6th chapter of Exodus, beginning with verse 6. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. This is also a fulfillment of his promise to Abraham and his promise to Jacob. And now here's this promise he's making to the children of Israel and to Moses. Is he going to keep his promise? Certainly he does. He states, I will rescue you from their bondage. Were they in bondage? Absolutely. You remember they were making these bricks and their babies were being born without any problems, and he's going to have them take away the straw. They're going to have to go out and gather it, and they're going to make these bricks. And they makes it harder and harder on them, and they keep thriving. So how has this great judgment come about? Well, these plagues, the water to blood, in Exodus, the 7th chapter, verse 20. The frogs, chapter 8 and verse 6. The lice, chapter 8 and verse 17. The flies, chapter 8 and verse 24. The livestock pestilence, chapter 9 and verse 6. The boils, chapter 9 and verse 10. The hail, chapter 9 and verse 23. The locusts, chapter 10 and verse 15. The darkness, chapter 10 and verse 22. And then the worst of all of these judgments, these plagues, the death of the firstborn, chapter 12 and verse 29. Not only that, it would be without burdens. In Exodus, the 12th chapter, verse 35 and 36. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. And it was with an outstretched arm. In Exodus, the 14th chapter, and verse 16, here they are, they think they're between a hard place and a rock. And it's stated here, but lift up your rod, he's talking to Moses, and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Did God keep his promise? And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it, so the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. Did God keep his promise? Absolutely. Another promise we might consider, the life cycle of man. Man's beginning in Genesis, the second chapter, and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Man was made in God's image, Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And that has nothing to do with our physical body. That's a spiritual statement that God is making. For God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we are made in God's image spiritually. Our eternal soul that will last somewhere forever. With a lifespan. Psalm 90 and verse 10. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. God's promise to Adam and Eve after sinning that they would die. The uncertainty of death was another promise. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 12. For man does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time, when it, this is death, falls suddenly upon them. the return of man? Ecclesiastes 3:21. Who knows the spirit of the sons of men, which goes upward, and the spirit of the animal, which goes down to the earth? Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. Thus the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Remember Genesis 2:7 in the Garden of Eden? God keeps his promises. Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will go. It's obvious that God keeps his promises. What about Jesus Christ? Does he keep his promises? John, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus says that he's going away. He also says he's going to prepare a place. It's an eternal place for you. He also says he will come again. He will receive you. But with all things concerning God and Christ, those things are conditional. Matthew 10:32, for example, that if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father who art in heaven. That we will be with Christ. Here again, it's conditional. Remember Matthew 7:21? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who art in heaven. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. He told us back there that he was going away. Here, Luke, guided by the Holy Spirit, tells us, now when he had spoken these things, this is reference to Christ, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, isn't that what Jesus said? Back there in John, he was going to prepare a place. Sure, that's what he said. This same Jesus taken up into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Peter, in Acts the second chapter, affirms this. In verse 33, he says, Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, in reference to Jesus Christ, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Verse 32, This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Did Jesus keep his promises? Yes, he did. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 15, And for this reason, Jesus is mediator of a new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, in verse 28, So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Christ said that's what he'd do. The Holy Spirit guided the Hebrew writer to say the same thing, that he will appear a second time. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Isn't that where he went in Acts the first chapter? With the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Watch this. With them in the clouds. Isn't that when how Christ descended in the clouds? To meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus made the statement that he was going away, that he was preparing a place in John. He did, in Acts, the first chapter, go away. They saw that. The witnesses saw that. Peter proclaimed it in Acts, the second chapter, that Christ is at the right hand of God. And here, Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, comforts these people in Thessalonica that he will return. The question is, will you be ready when the last promises are enacted? 2 Peter, the third chapter, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning, watch it, his promise. At some count, slackness. Well, how might we use this of a secular nature? What's he referring to there? Surely all of us at one time or another have been in a fast food restaurant waiting in line. And there's a mother with a child or two or three children, and one of them's misbehaving. And she says the same thing over and over again. Now, Johnny, you better behave or such and such or such and such. You know, you're not going to see it happen. And that child just misbehaves the whole time. And you know what you'd really like to do is not take the child out and give him a spanking. Is take the mother out and give her a spanking. Why? Because that child knows that that mother is not going to keep her promise. We can read the Bible. These examples I've given today, God keeps his promises, all of them. And Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. In other words, you can just count on it. It's going to happen. But is long-suffering toward you, not willing that any should perish. What do we have to do? Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what you got to do. That's Cliff's Notes, the shortened version. Love God and keep his commandments. Should not perish. That all should come to repentance. He's not slack concerning his promise. There'll be a judgment day. The righteous will go to heaven. The unrighteous will go to hell. And they're both eternal. Don't let anyone try to tell you that the righteous will go to heaven and the dead will just die and be like Rover, the dead dog all over. Both of them are eternal. Faith is required to believe God, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is required to obey God. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, what'd he do? He built an ark, moved with godly fear. Faith is required to please God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Why would you believe this? Because you read in the Old Testament, God made a promise and he kept it. Let me ask you something. In all likelihood, your best friend, if it's not your spouse, it's somebody you can confide in, and they keep their promises. They keep their word. God should be our best friend, our best spiritual friend. Christ should be our best spiritual friend. The Holy Spirit should be our best spiritual friend. And it's all because the promises were made and the promises were kept. Would you really be here today if God was wishy-washy? If you couldn't tell what he was going to do from one day to another? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6, the last portion of that verse. Faith is the victory. 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God, well, how is it we're born of God? John 3:5. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Back to 1 John. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So I ask you this morning, are you ready for those promises, whenever they might occur? We're not guaranteed 70 years, 80 years, or 90 years. If you don't believe me, just read the obituary. I'll guarantee you, you'll find somebody in there who's died that's younger than you. Are you ready for death? Are you ready for the judgment? As we extend the invitation, we've got to hear the word, Romans 10:17. We got to believe it. He that believeth and is baptized. It takes more than just belief. James says the devils believe and tremble. We've got to repent, Luke 13:3 and verse 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. We've got to confess Christ, that Jesus is the Christ. Matthew 10:32. We've got to be baptized, Acts 2:38. We've got to be faithful all of our life. Matthew 10:22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Why not help yourself to God's mercy and grace by obeying the gospel while we stand and sing?